Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Orishas, Goddesses, and Voodoo Queens, The Divine Feminine in the African Religious Traditions, by Lilith Dorsey, narrated by Adenrale Ojo. I love myself when I am laughing, and then again when I am looking mean and impressive. Zora Neale Hurston. Introduction. I believe this is a vital work for goddess spirituality and feminism, whose time is long overdue. Interest in both African traditional religions and women's issues are stronger than ever before, and rightfully so. People look to women of color to elucidate the intersectionality of these topics, and I have dedicated my life to presenting them here, rooting the material in serious scholarship and decades of work in these powerful spiritual traditions. One of the most important things about the religions that honor the Orishas and the Loas is their focus on women and women's empowerment in traditional and time-honored ways. The Orishas and the Loas, depending on who is doing the explaining, are cosmic forces in the universe, sometimes personified, sometimes thought of as deities, but always divine. History has not been her story, and modern women seriously need ways to connect with and understand their ancestral warrior strengths and power. Orishas, Goddesses, and Voodoo Queens helps to illuminate these powers through stories, spells, and correspondences. Many of these vital qualities are not traditionally thought of as belonging to the warrior. However, the African traditions have a different view. The Orisha Oshun, for example, is known to save the world with her sensual beauty, and the Orisha Yemaya nurtures and protects mankind so everyone can prosper. We'll investigate the sacred legacies of these goddesses and many more. There has never before been a book of this kind, and I welcome the opportunity to share this material based on 30 years of scholarship and practice in these traditions. An exciting and an extreme time is now upon us. History has a long list of Orishas, Loas, goddesses, warrior women, and queens who have embodied the sacred feminine from the dawn of time. These can serve as wise teachers from the past, helping us to navigate an empowered future. In fact, there is nothing that can't be accomplished with the assistance of these forces, as they hold the keys to the ancient mysteries of life itself. One of my spiritual elders likes to remind me that the original mystery was not one of death, but of birth. Birth is a slow and secret process. The Orishas, Loas, and goddesses nurture physical, emotional, and spiritual births on every level, just as they continually nurture us. Like many young girls, when I began my spiritual journey, I was hungry for these inspirational, feminine deities and all the important lessons they had for me. I also sought out the lessons of the strong women in my family who had come before me. Our ancestors were women who fought for the right to vote, for civil rights, for equality on every level. Even the strong women in our recent memory lived through the Depression, the Cold War, and the sexual revolution to become the resilient foremothers of later generations. They drew their strengths from wherever and however they could find them. Their struggles were real, just as ours are today. Growing up, I came to know firsthand the challenges my grandmothers and so many other grandmothers suffered trying to craft a better tomorrow for their children. They struggled for equality, for independence, for freedom, and in many cases, for their own lives. When I first went to college, I was met with a male-dominated faculty who denied or ignored the contributions of the divine feminine in history and culture. I wish I could say that I was surprised. In one particular dubious instance, I even had an ignorant professor go so far as to say there was no such thing as witches or magic existing in modern society. I longed to prove him wrong and to responsibly document the reality I had come to know and love. I did this then, as now, not only for myself, but for my daughters who deserved to genuinely know the indomitable legacy they were entitled to inherit. There is a whole battery of feminine strengths that they could draw on from not only the Western world, but Africa as well. This book is designed to unlock and unfold the great mysteries of the ancient and powerful feminine realms of magic. Many are familiar with the warrior goddesses of Greece and Rome. Some even made it into pop culture in comics like Wonder Woman. But equally important are the divine feminine forces that hail from Africa, even if their story has not been as brightly lit. The appeal of the goddess is rooted in ancient tradition and bolstered by a truly radical feminism. I'll share how to celebrate both the masculine and feminine traits within, and how to foster these traits, gaining strength, improvement, and empowerment in all areas of your life. This book offers magical solutions as well as practical, mundane ones. Here you will find spells, rituals, potions, recipes, sacred offerings, and much more to help guide you on your transformational journey. Most importantly, this book will unfold the divine mysteries of these goddesses. Powerful forces like the Orisha of the River, Oshun, of Nigeria, Oya, the Orisha of the Wind, a superior horsewoman and equal to any man in battle. Voodoo priestess Marie Laveau, who used her powers of persuasion, and some might even say creative blackmail of politicians and sex workers to gain and keep her status, and the divine Nana Buruku, who bolstered her warrior strength with insight from wisdom and age. No matter how they showcase it, each of the goddesses presented here has her own unique qualities to help her survive and thrive in every imaginable situation. Like the history of women themselves, African traditional religions have often been a victim of suppression, persecution, demonization, and misinformation. Time-honored religions like Ifa, Haitian Vodou, New Orleans Voodoo, Hoodoo, and Conjure, Candomblé, Umbanda, and La Regla Lukumi, sometimes mistakenly referred to as Santeria, have frequently been maligned and associated with the darker side of magic, like hexes and curses. In reality, when examining the day-to-day practices, nothing could be further from the truth. There was certainly a history of very unfortunate circumstances that included evils such as slavery and lynching, which did force the religions to offer effective solutions to these horrible injustices. In spite of this, in these dismal realms they grew and flourished. Consequently, these religions and pantheons became supremely strong. I heard an Ifa priest say recently that one of the beautiful things about African traditional religions is that, like a fractal, they can make themselves as small or as large as they need to be. We can carry them in our pockets or spread them out like a blanket of blessings over our whole community. We can draw on these strengths in every way to continue to empower ourselves today in a modern context. Enslaved Africans were transported to what colonizers referred to as the New World beginning in the 1500s. They were brought by the French, English, Spanish, Dutch, Portuguese, and others to many different parts of the Caribbean, as well as South and North America. By some estimates, over 12 million African people were forcibly shipped away from their homeland during the slave trade. Their stories, their journeys, and their existence in the New World included all levels of horror, torture, and oppression. In many cases, they were separated from their friends and family, and several countries forbid them from speaking in their native language, reading, writing, singing, dancing, and practicing their traditional religions. However, these religions did not disappear. They were hidden, transformed, and transported in order to be able to survive under the most difficult of conditions. The African traditional religions, both in their homeland and in all the places they traveled to, were forced to remain shrouded in secrecy. This was to keep both the practitioners and the knowledge they possessed safe from persecution. The veil of mystery has only just begun to lift after almost 500 years. In areas like Haiti and Jamaica, the respective religions of Vodou and Obeya have only just started to be recognized by the governments there, and many are still wary of going public with their beliefs. These stigmas have left a legacy of oppression and prejudice that will take a long time to subside. Due to the nature of slavery, the records that survive from the time are incomplete at best. Hundreds of years have passed, and very often colonizers didn't even take note of where their captives came from. However, scholars have been able to piece together some things about the transport. It is known that slaves were taken from many different areas of West and Central Africa. Genetic testing can give us a rough idea of some of these histories. In Haiti, the birthplace of Vodou, many of the people who were transported there came from countries now referred to as the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Benin, and Nigeria. In Cuba, the home of the La Regla Lukumi tradition, a large majority of the slaves were taken from Angola, Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Nigeria. The United States saw its slaves from Gambia, Senegal, Mali, Ghana, Angola, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In all the areas, slaves were mixing with the indigenous people who were also oppressed and often enslaved by the very same colonizers. Just as these individuals came together, so did their magic. We can only imagine what nightmares these individuals must have endured. Being taken from their homes, sold, abused, raped, tortured, and in some cases, murdered. My heart grows very heavy when I think about these atrocities. They left a legacy of ancestral pain that will be felt forever. However, they also left a legacy of resistance. One way this powerful resistance manifested was in the form of powerful religions. Like it or not, adversity can often create opportunity. These African traditional religions grew stronger in response to these extreme hardships. In addition to secrecy, syncretism was one of the ways that the religions could continue for all these years. Syncretism is the blending of different traditions, religious or otherwise. One of the most puzzling things for people both inside and outside the traditions of Vodou and La Regla Lukumi is the inclusion of iconography from other religions. I have spoken to many elders who report that one of the main reasons for this was to allow the practices to remain literally undercover. The most common form of syncretism in Haitian Vodou, New Orleans Vodou, and La Regla Lukumi in Cuba and Puerto Rico was the use of Catholic saint statues on shrines and during celebrations. Traditionally, these statues were hollow, which allowed the practitioners to put sacred items from their own religions up into the cover of Christianity. This way, it looked like people were worshiping the statue, while they were also honoring the contents. For a long time, this was necessary to avoid prejudice and persecution. There was, however, also a mixing of traditions to some extent. This stems from, I believe, the cosmology of the religions and their belief in the divine power of all things, highlighted under their concept of Ashe. Ashe is explained as the universal life force of Afro-Caribbean religions. Absolutely everything and everyone has Ashe. I have Ashe. You have Ashe. The trees and rocks outside your front door have Ashe. The Orisha Oshun, for example, has her own unique Ashe, which is present in the river, in her sacred honey, in her favorite herbs like cinnamon, in gold, and most especially, in the spirit of her children or devotees. Under the circumstances, it is a very short leap to see how individuals forced to use St. Lazarus, for example, to represent the Orisha Baba Luaye, would choose to also honor and incorporate the healing miracles of this saint. This blending had its roots in colonial times, but is still in use today. I have a godson who honors both St. Lazarus and Baba Luaye each year to ensure the continued health of his family. This involves making offerings to the Orisha and participating in his local church's processionals and services for the saint. I realize some people may find these practices puzzling, but for many, this dual worship allows them to connect with the divine in multiple ways. Syncretism also manifests with the use of psalms and prayers in traditions like hoodoo and New Orleans voodoo. These Christian words allowed followers to worship under the cover of language. In many countries, the Bible was the only book slaves were permitted to own. Many believe that this practice of reciting psalms is still used today because there is power in the words, in the mere sound of the words even, which transcends systems and ideologies. Some have likened the Orishas and Loas in these systems to gods and goddesses. While I understand the comparison, many staunch followers of African traditional religions dispute this. For them, there is still only one supreme god, viewed as the same one worshipped in Christianity. In Haitian Vodou, he, she, is referred to as Bondai, or good God who oversees all things. The same is also true for many followers of La Regla Lukumi, who also identify as having only one God, sometimes identified as Olodumare or Olorun. As I have mentioned before, each house and in many ways each individual worships in their own personalized way. In my opinion, each of these is equally valid, and as long as one is under the guidance of a respected spiritual family, each one is correct. How to get in touch with the Orishas, goddesses, queens, and your own divine self will be the focus of Chapter 1. This chapter will discuss simple yet effective ways for setting up a personal shrine or altar. The importance of cleaning and consecrating your sacred space with traditional herbs, incense, oils, and spells will be explored. We will delve into the powers of the goddesses that can be strengthened and intensified by exploring our own divine nature and attributes. The importance of connecting with the divine feminine, both through ritual and divination with items such as tarot cards or a pendulum will also be stressed. A complete calendar is also included, so you can celebrate your feasts and holy days along with the rest of the world. This will give you a firm foundation as you travel down your spiritual path. One of the most powerful and beautiful forces in the African traditional religions is known as Oshun. She is the focus of Chapter 2. Called by many different names, Oshun, O-S-U-N, O-S-H-U-N, O-X-U-N, O-X-U-M, or O-C-H-U-N, depending on the area. She is representative of the Ashe, or sacred energy of the river. Hers is a sweet river of tears cried in joy, and sometimes in sorrow, that is capable of blessing our true souls. She illustrates the principle that love is always stronger than hate. Many don't think of her as a warrior goddess, because unlike some of the Orishas and goddesses who actually do have conventional battle skills, her strength comes shining through in her sensuality and beauty. The most famous Pataki, or sacred divination tale, about her tells of how she saved the entire world with her seductive powers of persuasion. According to most versions of the story, a group of menstruating women had threatened to take over the world. Neither the Orisha Ogun with his military power, nor the Orisha Shango with his drums and sacred fire, could stop them. The world was at a loss until Oshun, with her seductive dancing and sweet honey from her luscious hips, could persuade these women to do otherwise. This story artfully illustrates how divine power and warrior strength can take many forms besides brute force and violent conflict. Oshun rightfully claims as her sacred domain love, marriage, money, specifically gold, dancing, fertility, and abundance in their highest manifestation. She is envisioned by some as the ultimate personification of beauty in all its forms. Throughout time, her true mysteries have remained artfully cloaked due to the secrecy of initiation and practice. There are, however, many ways to honor and connect with this lovely Orisha, even if traditional avenues of study are immediately unavailable. We will detail these in this chapter, including simple herbs, offerings, spells, recipes, and rituals to better understand and contact the energy of this sacred Orisha. Chapter 3 focuses on the Orisha Yemaya. Occupying the role of Divine Mother, Yemaya has great strength. Her name means Mother whose children are the fish of the sea. The Ashe of the ocean is what we find in her. She is honored with salt baths, oils made with the treasures of the sea, and other watery ritual offerings that we will discuss and explore. Yemaya can graciously grant the bounty of the ocean or send crashing waves if you are not adequately prepared for her presence. Many newcomers to African traditional religions recognize Yemaya as similar to the Mother Goddess or even the Virgin Mary. She encompasses all these elements and much more. With electric sparks shooting from her spiky hair and a scream in her heart, the Orisha Oya presents a more classic picture of the warrior goddess. Chapter 4 focuses on this sacred force who is the embodiment of the wind. She stands side by side with her husband Shango to fight all who would challenge the pair. Oya is the very air of life. Many perceive her as a queen of the ancestors, whose ritual place is found in the cemetery. Some scholars have argued that she is an amalgam of Native American and European goddess combined with traditional African notions of female divinity. Whatever cultural threads make up her multicolored skirt, she manifests as a powerful force. Oya possesses the powers of shape-shifting and its related component of invisibility. Her representations are known to be both strong and sexual. Ways to access her power, through gree-gree bags, candles, oils, recipes, and more, will be examined in this chapter.
Chapter 5 is dedicated to Nanaburuku. As a fierce, strong, and powerful protector of women, Nanaburuku is a goddess for these terribly trying times.
In a way, she almost transcends time itself as one of the oldest energies in the Orisha pantheon.
One of my dearest friends is an Ifa priest, or Babalawo, and in his opinion, Nanaburuku is beyond the constraints of time,
full of sacred inspiration spawned across the ages and cloaked in mystery and silence. Even her sacred tools are created entirely of wood, as if her weaponry predates even Bronze Age tools, weapons, and technology. She teaches us about survival through a deep and commanding wisdom, the knowledge of our great-grandmothers and all the women in the line who have come before. Honoring her through offerings, spells, and shrines is covered in this chapter. Mamiwata also occupies the space of ancient and powerful creator. Chapter 6 explores her realms of deep, watery knowledge and bounty. Found throughout central and coastal Africa, she is one of the oldest entities in existence, with evidence from the 15th century and before. Mamiwata is most often depicted as a beautiful woman on the top and a fish on the bottom. She presents as seductive and generous, yet also sometimes jealous or dangerous. Her primal wisdom and gifts will be explored with magic waters, recipes, rituals, and rites in this chapter. In the island nation of Haiti, many of the sacred energies shifted as they traveled on the beaten backs of enslaved people transported from Africa. Many of the people of color who were taken to Haiti came from Dahomey, a kingdom in Western Africa. Accordingly, the deities they took with them reflect these fierce tribal ties. Today, in Haitian Vodou, one of the most prominent loas, or sacred forces, is the goddess Erzuli. Chapter 7 focuses on the myriad loas who fall under the name Erzuli. With an infinite number of manifestations, she shares with us every aspect of love and feminine power. There is Erzuli Frida Dahomey, who cries tears for the sadness and shortcomings of humanity. She is perfumed, coquettish, and full of compassion. This is in direct contrast to Erzuli Danto, a more typical feminine warrior who is a commanding protector of children, abused women, and victims of domestic violence. Erzuli Taro is associated with the bull, and has been known to mount her devoted followers just like a bull. A fierce and ancient grandmother comes to us as Erzuli Mapyong. Yet in all her beautiful forms, Erzuli is the ashe and spirit of the waterfall. There are many different ways to honor her, including through the use of oils, waters, baths, spells, and recipes contained in Chapter 7. Haiti is also home to the sacred serpent and the rainbow whose mythology has become famous throughout the entire world. This rainbow serpent, Aida Wado, is the focus of the 8th chapter. Snake goddesses are as old as time and tide, echoing the sacred beginnings that gave birth to us all. Aida Wado is a divine wife, bride, mother, and progenitor, and a beacon of hope. Her warrior strength springs forth from this hope, which urges us to believe things can always improve, just like a magical rainbow after a storm. Here we dance with the unbelievable power of believing. It is a dance of the ancestors, those women and men who carried on despite and against all odds. Furthermore, it is a dance of potential that urges us toward a new hope, and a better tomorrow. Like many of the other Orishas and Loas featured here, Aido Wado is a formidable force that we can draw on in our daily lives. Connecting to this goddess takes supreme...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?